your ears to Dell Diamond, home of the Round Rock Express, for episode number 289 of the Triple Option with RBKD. On the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, what bowl game does Sark need to get to for this year to be considered a success? The NFL is laying down the law with COVID vaccines. And have caution, the NBA has become a choking hazard. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how we doing today?
Doing good out here. It's a little hot, but that's a little breeze. Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
Summer breeze.
Blowing through the jasmine in my mind. I believe those are the Isley Brothers words, right? Is that what it is?
I'm in love with him for the next 4 hours at least. Maybe one show, but that's it.
Yes. Sure, Seals and Crofts. I think Isley
you know what that is, right?
It, though.
BK, you've heard that.
Yeah.
Summer breeze.
Yeah. I think originally Seals and Crofts, maybe, but I think Isley Brothers remade that too, the one I'm talking about.
Well done.
Sticking with you.
Yeah. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away
don't
to keep it there for
Rod.
The rest of us. He knows where your IT guys. IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
Rod, Brian Spielis did this 4 years ago.
I'm not trying to hurt it.
At a Vandergrift remote, I was not happy.
I'm not trying to hurt it, but it's bothering me.
It's not.
It's
it
harassing
sting
me.
You unless you did unless you do
it's
what
racist,
you did.
It's racist, obviously. I'm the only one it's messing with. It's leaving all the white guys alone.
You know, you used more hands there than you did your entire career.
Mm. Oh, come on. It was unnecessary.
Mm.
I don't want to hurt the bee because I know that bees are, you know, they're dealing with a lot of issues right now in our society. Shout out to Kelly because she's an apiarist trying to keep the bees alive.
They're dealing with a lot of issues.
They're
in
dealing
our
with Kellys that treat them like. Like
well,
a human.
No, they're dealing with
a-hole. She's got two boys that she loves, and she loves them as much.
They're dealing with a lot of a-hole humans who are inconsiderate and don't give a damn about the bees.
You mean like ones that are trying to swipe at it when it's just friendly, kind of seeing what's going on?
Swipe, not kill, shoo. I shooed him. He was shooed away. All right, not swatted at, shooed away.
Never been stung by a bee. I'm very proud of that. Kind of like Jerry's throw-up record that he had.
Mm.
Mine's going on, well, 43 years.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, though.
No, it is.
That is impressive.
And you know why? Because I treat the bees like I treat Carl or Carly. We're not sure with package-wise. I'm getting people looking at photos, but it was dark. And the raccoon.
Oh.
Carl the coon.
I treat them well. And there is no – I mean, I also hunt, and I like to eat meat, so they don't know that I'm undercover agent, right? But on that one, with bees, I've always been cool. I've had bees on me. I just always knew, do not swipe. Let them smell. Let them do their thing. Never been stung.
There's no way that works.
Do not swipe. This is the guy that guess will stand there when there's a bear around.
It has
I'm
worked.
I'm just going to be still.
I said to talk to it. What are you going to do, run?
What, from the bear?
Yeah. From
I'm
a bear?
Running. I got a shot. You don't.
You used to have a shot. I definitely never did.
I'm shoving.
If it's me and you, I'm good because he'll get here.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's us? No, if it's us, I'm done.
Whoever I'm with is getting shoved down and I'm running. Sorry about that. I don't need to be faster than the bear. I just need to be faster than the other person I'm with.
I was thinking solo.
Yeah.
Either of us are dumb with Rod.
Very true.
Yeah. I'm going to try to fight the bear, I think.
That'll work.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio?
Sure.
The Revenant?
Did yes.
He, I don't know if he was. Well, I guess he was technically fighting the bear.
I haven't seen that movie.
I haven't either.
You ever seen The Revenant?
No.
Oh, great film.
Sorry about
seen
that.
Seen The Revenant? Oh, yeah.
Came out in 99, right?
Trev's in it.
Is that right before he was in Titanic?
No, oh, well,
dude,
yeah.
Titanic was like 1900.
Yeah.
Well, that's when, true.
Yeah. Kate Winslet was still hot then.
Whoa. Man, coming out swinging.
How about that?
She what? Seems really cool.
Is she not? She's still attractive. I'm just saying she's not hot.
You know,
be attractive
Bucky
not
was on from 12 to 2, not 3 to 7. So.
Are we on Twitch right now? Because I would love for the Twitch folks to have seen Rod's reaction to the bee. Speaking of the bee, he's back.
He's back. He's because you know what?
Relax.
I know what it is.
Just
I know
relax.
What it is. No, I know what it is.
He likes right? black people?
No,
well, it's, now it,
no,
no
technically
people.
It is. Because I have cocoa butter on. My lotion.
What are you
is
doing?
Sweet,
wow.
And he likes the cocoa butter. And white people don't wear as much lotion as black people.
No.
That's what it is.
We definitely don't wear cocoa butter.
Well, you need to. Oh, the cocoa
butter.
We
wear suntan lotion.
Oh, yeah, well, y'all need
and
that.
It's an all-day event at the beach.
You need the sunscreen.
You must laugh at white people.
You need sunscreen, brother.
Hey, it's noon. Let's go on up and, you know, get everything lathered on again.
Oh, my woman.
And then come back down. Let's come back up at 3 o'clock and do it again. You know what? It's sunset, but still, who knows?
Yeah.
And then aloe vera's coming on. Mm-hmm. That's part of our trip.
I know, and white people always forget sunscreen. Like I was like, if
you're
white,
of all people.
How do you forget sunscreen? Right. Everywhere you need it everywhere you go.
You guys would know if I forgot sunscreen. I'd be coming in on a Monday just red as hell. I'd be purple from the sunburn. It'd be that bad. Unreal. We're out at Del Diamond, home of the Round Rock Express, the E-Train back in town. By the way, I should mention the E-Train are in first place right now. So come out and see the Express all weekend long. They are taking on the Oklahoma City Dodgers. Tickets available at roundrockexpress.com. Thirsty Thursday tonight, gentlemen.
Oh, so that's why they brought us out.
They're smart.
Thursday.
That's why they brought us out, and that's why we
said
yes. $5
24-ounce Bud Lights?
Yep.
Sweet.
They got the hookup all game long. Mm-hmm. And by the way, tonight is a Pints and Pups night presented by HEB.
What?
So the doggos will be out tonight as well.
I wish I'd have known. I'd have brought my bitches.
Now, that would have been cool.
No, my two chocolate labs. Oh, it is okay. A little hot. That's right.
I wanted to see her before the wedding.
Yeah, it's too hot right now. I have to wait till like after. Yeah. Sunday. I have to have my woman bring them out. So I was talking about my two chocolate labs.
There's still time.
Gotcha.
They're female.
Game's not till 7:05, man.
Up. Yeah, I
she
might
get out here.
I might text her and tell her it's Pups and Pints night.
Yeah, Pints and Pups night and the original Thirsty Thursday. RoundRockExpress.com for tickets.
Derek is out. Why is I bet say this goes to show you why is Wade not out? As much as I love Derek, I think I love
hot,
Wade
man.
A
it's
little bit
It's way too
more.
Hot for him.
It's too hot. Yeah, basically
he'd be in that pool. He'd be in that pool over there.
That would be awesome. Do the dogs get to get in the pool?
No.
Oh,
there's no
awesome.
Way.
I don't know.
That would be really
cool. I bet you a couple
cool
will
did.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you'll see
some. They might say
night.
No, but some dogs are going to get in there on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Can't control doggos around the pool, man. They'll just jump in on their own.
Exactly.
What if they had snake night? Can you imagine how many people wouldn't show that usually would?
Nobody would be here.
Right. But there'd be some snake. There'd be some snake people.
There'd be like the five weird kids from your high school who would show up.
That's who we're talking about. There'd be some snake people.
There'd be some snake people coming out.
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing.
You think left field?
Pints and pythons night coming your way. Soon.
You think Occupy Left Field scares the bullpen?
Oh, man.
Imagine if you had a couple pythons hanging over.
I saw Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA a couple of weeks ago. They brought like a big-ass snake on set, and he freaked out. He was like hiding behind Shaq and Kenny the Jet Smith because he was scared as all hell.
That's one of the only
that's
animals.
That's a mountain of a man right there freaked out over a snake.
It's one of the only animals that I've been around, and I had some friends, especially in college, that had snakes. They're like, dude, you're every pet you've been around, you seem to be cool with. And I turned into that person that doesn't like dogs, cats, is scared of dogs or cats. And if you're scared of them, then that means you're scared of anything
Everything.
Else out there.
Yeah.
And I was really hesitant, and I thought, man, this is the
How
one
big
thing.
Was it?
It's pretty big. Oh, he's so cute. I'm about to feed it a mouse. I'm like,
ugh.
Yeah. I don't know about cute.
Anything that eats a mouse is not considered cute.
Yeah. Cats eat mice.
They do, but at least they kill it first, and it's a hunting thing. Say, you know, that it ends up protecting you.
Mm. Yeah,
this is more. You have to go buy it.
Bucky's going to get, I think, some cats. He said because he's got like a mouse problem.
Oh no, he needs it where he lives.
Yeah, so he's getting a cat. There you go.
Unreal. Having some fun. We'll have some fun throughout the show. We're out amongst the people once again. Come out and see us, Del Diamond. We've got Rangers tickets to give away. We also have koozies, stickers, plenty of horn swag available too. And the E-Train, once again, back in town a little after 7 o'clock. First pitch tonight, Round Rock taking on the Dodgers of Oklahoma City. Gentlemen, we open up today's program with some disappointing Texas football news. Five-star class of 2023 running back Reuben Owens, a.k.a. the Black Unicorn,
the Black Uni,
took to Twitter earlier today to announce that he is decommitting from Texas. He committed to UT back on February 25th, but earlier today in a Twitter statement he said, quote, "There is a lot to carefully evaluate, especially this early on, and now I see that. Although the University of Texas will be one of the programs I will consider, I am officially decommitting and reopening my recruiting campaign," end quote. He went on to thank Longhorn Nation and ended the note with a hashtag hook'em and also a horns emoji. So Texas still very much in the mix, but the decommitment is real. And Reuben Owens, one of the top-ranked running backs in the country, one of the top players in the country for the class of 2023, has generated a ton of interest from schools all over the country. Rod B., your thoughts on what the Reuben Owens decommitment means for Texas, if anything, and does this news change your opinion of the Black Unicorn nickname?
No, does not change my opinion about the nickname. I do wonder who gave him the nickname and if it was a self-proclaimed thing. And, you know what I mean? Like, who called him Black Unicorn first? That's what I want to know. But anyway, I digress.
Do we know why he was called that?
That's what I'm saying. So I would like to know the genesis. So, yeah, how'd you come up with that? What is it? Because it sounds more, yeah, I mean.
Because if you're a running back and you're a white unicorn, it's a lot easier to pull that off. But the best running backs ever have been black, so.
You're talking about the albino rhino?
Yeah, I'm talking about that if you're like a white running back, it's easy to go McCaffrey's the white unicorn.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it's very rare. I'm just going by numbers. This is not a racial deal against my race, by the way. Mm-hmm. Saying that it'd be more rare if you had an Asian running back.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the point of the black unicorn?
Yeah, there are a million black running backs.
My top five running backs of all time are black.
Maybe somebody's
college and pro.
He could be talking about his skill set, but then I'm still with you. I don't know what makes his skill set so unique that it's unicorn.
My point.
The unicorn compared.
What I'm asking is, how upset should I be?
I'll say this: it's not a big deal because he's 2023.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So you got. I'm saying,
so they're all kids. He's a kid.
Yes, and the recruitment is still open, technically. Texas does have Jaden Blue coming in 2022. He's the highest-ranked running back in the country, one of the highest-ranked running backs. I think he's actually the highest-ranked running back in the state, one of the highest-ranked running backs in the country. So you got him coming in. You got Jonathan Brooks, Mr. Texas High School Football, came in this year. And then, of course, you got Rojo, and you got Bijan, and you just brought in Keylon Robinson via the transfer portal. He's a guy with tremendous versatility, could push you towards some more positionless football. Truth is, he has a higher ceiling probably than a guy like Rojo.
Right.
You're just looking at long-term and projecting how Sark could end up weaponizing a guy like Keylon Robinson. So you are, to me, I think you have contingency plans. I think you have insurance at that running back position. And like I said, that's 2023. That's way down the line. Does show you, though, that, you know, a lot of the momentum that we have, you know, talked about with Sark early on, I have heard from some coaches that I know that, you know, the negative recruiting, and everybody negatively recruits. It happens to every school, and every school does it. It's like peeing in the shower. Everybody has done it, or everybody does it. So whatever you want to say.
For your feet. No, it fights certain bacteria.
Negative recruiting?
Look at this guy.
Madonna. I learned that from Madonna on Letterman on CBS in the early 90s, and then I started to look it up a little bit more.
And Madonna, okay. She regularly urinates in the shower?
I mean, it didn't surprise me at all.
And doesn't surprise me. She thinks it's for their health benefits to it.
Of course.
Yeah, but moving on, I do think that people have, lately, coaches have recruited against Texas. They're saying, wait till the season.
Yeah.
This is their new thing. Just wait till the season. Don't you want to see what he's going to do? All right, you're jumping on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. You don't even know what this guy's going to do. What if he's just like Tom Herman? What if he's just like Charlie Strong? I mean, it's been 10 years since they've won at that place.
I get it.
You need to wait till the season. So there's a lot now being thrown, more pressure on Sark to win this year, and then you can continue to have this type of recruiting momentum and offseason momentum that he's having right now.
That's well said.
Right now, it's still the honeymoon period.
Yep. I have a P comment. I'll save that for the end, though, just related to all this, considering we're out here. That's a tease right there.
That is a hell of a tease.
Rod's right, and I think I said this probably a couple months ago, and I had a couple of Texas fans are like, KD, that's not right. I know you, man. You would have your kid going to UT. I would want him to, but as a parent, if it was my kid, I would look at, let's make sure some of this is real, right? And let's see this on the field, and then we can commit in October. Mm-hmm. But let's make sure that everything we think and all the everything seems to point to, this is the guy, and he's actually going to do what Herman and Charlie and late Mac – the later part of Mac, didn't do. And I understand that. And the other thing, too, is it was Stan Drayton. Are you kidding me? Like, that wasn't a problem. That's when the weird schemes weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be getting their guys. Yeah. So I've seen video, really talented kid, would like him to be here. Maybe he still will. That's not a position that I worry about where you lose someone and say, can we replace it? In terms of the P thing, probably the strangest – urinating in terms of helping yourself out. Remember Moises Alou would pee on his hands to get a better grip on the back?
Wow.
Is that a foreign substance?
Well done.
You know what?
Is a great reference.
I'm sure Manfred mid-season would come in and say you can't do it.
Mm. That is a great reference.
Thank you.
Talk about sports and combining that with random urination stories.
Uh-huh.
That is fantastic.
During the game?
No, before.
Okay. But Stevie wanted to grill. I wonder if anybody would give him high fives after that.
Yeah.
Man, I wouldn't have.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy. We're going Bash Brothers. I don't want to go rock
no.
with
you. Yeah. Speaking of random urination stories, Mark Schlereth claims that he often, as a center, that in games when he had to go, he'd just go because he wasn't going to leave the game. And the quarterback would just have to deal with the center who had – a little moisture saloo happening there. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Look at this guy.
All right. Anyway.
How long does the urine last on your hands? Like, if he took a leak before the game, did it last for all nine innings? I mean, baseball takes forever,
Pretty potent. It's pretty potent.
Knowing Alou, he probably would, in between innings, would go in there. I mean, he was, and he always was bare hands guy, and I always liked that about him. Always had the pine tar going as high up as it could on the bat, and he had that grip on it, and he came out later and said, "Yeah, no, it's about peeing on your hands."
It's great stuff.
It's stuff. I don't know if it's great stuff.
No, it's great stuff.
It is stuff. We forgot about that sports story.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. For the record, guys, I do not respect the decision of Reuben Owens.
I know you don't.
Only because he didn't ask me to please respect his decision. That's how it works. If somebody mentions in their decommitment tweet that I need to respect their decision, then I'll respect it. But he didn't ask me to, therefore, I do not respect it. So I just want that on the record. But Texas will be fine.
Yeah.
Like y'all said, they've got a load of running backs right now. They already have a running back signed for the class of 2021 and for the class of 2022. And Stan Drayton has proven the ability. He can win on the recruiting trail. And he can develop talent, too.
Yep.
That's what we've seen from Stan Drayton, not only here at Texas, but at previous stops in college and the NFL. So I'm not too concerned with Reuben Owens. Once again, he decommitted from Texas, but he didn't commit anywhere else. So Texas very much in the mix for Reuben Owens' services. And, yeah, you still have a year and a half left in his recruitment. I mean, it's not till next December before he'll have the chance to put pen to paper. So I'm not closing the book on this thing, and I think Texas will be fine with or without Reuben Owens. Of course, I want him, but they'll be okay without him.
Not ideal that, I guess, in the 2023 class, Reuben Owens decommits, and then the 2022 running back, Jaden Blue, opts out of his high school senior year.
Yeah.
So there's still a little uncertainty there. So I guess even – but you still – it's no immediate concern, as BK said. I mean, you still don't have to worry about that for 2 years. But at least now I guess you do start thinking about other options in those classes just in case something happens.
Paul on I think the last Everyone Gets a Trophy was as cryptic as a 17-year-old running back can be on Twitter. or actually a lot of pro athletes too. And said that he's got really good sources. I trust his sources. He's been right about most stuff. That may not happen in general.
Oh, wait. It a lot of pressure?
No. He's going to opt out but not coming to Texas for different reasons. Didn't want to get into it. But so, yeah, I mean, they may be kind of really hot on the trail, but I think with Drayton and what they're going to create and what they're really going to show on the field this year, they're going to be fine with that. But it's important. Once again, getting back to this is reminiscent to 98. Get it going and get it going early. And I knew Matt could recruit, and when it was a 1-2 start, I thought, oh, no. I mean, this is not – and he turned it around, and you go 9-3, which doesn't sound great, and beat Mississippi State, who was not great, in a Cotton Bowl, which was good but not what it was 20 years before, where it was one of those national serious bowls. It was a good bowl, and it turned everything, and it got Rod, and it got all these guys – to come in, and that hurricane just changed stuff for about 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with the more recent example. Look at Tom Herman's first year. I mean, Texas was 6-6 in the regular season. They won the bowl game against Mizzou to get the 7-6, but that's not a great season by any stretch.
No.
Yet Tom Herman was able to reel in the number 3 ranked recruiting class in the country.
Yeah.
So, ideally, you want to see results on the field, and ultimately, whether or not Sark is successful here is going to be determined by what happens in the fall. We know this, but there's still a way, even if year one isn't that great, where you can recruit at Texas.
Yeah.
The question is down the road, right? If you repeatedly lose games like the last couple of coaches have, then what happens to recruiting, and can you find a way to sustain yourself as a coach here?
Totally agree.
We'll see what happens. All right, guys. What about breakout player candidates? We got a few minutes left in this segment, and we'll get back into this a little bit later in the program. But Bruce Feldman of The Athletic recently identified 35 players from around the country that he believes will break out in the 2021 college football season. One Longhorn made the cuts, and that Longhorn is Jared Wiley. Here's the little blurb from Bruce Feldman. Quote, Texas coaches are excited about Wiley's combination of blocking skills, an enormous catch radius, and his vertical speed. He caught 9 passes in 2020, but that should jump considerably this fall. End quote. KD, I'll send this one your way first. Jared Wiley, thoughts on him being a breakout player for the Horns in 2021?
You guys know this, doing a show with me, BK, doing post-game and this show with me, that I've been high on him. I've given him probably more benefit of the doubt than his play would deserve. But even going back to his first year that felt like there wasn't much there, maybe I was so thirsty for anything that looked dynamic that could be a pass catcher, a tight end. I think that is part of it, that he showed little things that, man, if you put him in the right scheme, he continues to develop and develop his skill set, he could be really good. My biggest question about Jared Wiley is how much of a predictable show and tell is it when he's out there, and that he's not really going to be a tight end. You can't really go to 21. You can't really go to any personnel that would have an extra tight end in it. We know we're going to flex him out. We know he can be a body type of guy. He's not going to beat us with a lot of speed. But Jared Wiley's still a guy with Sark. I am curious as hell to see how he's used. Getting blown up by Thompson in the spring game kind of just tells me that Jared Wiley as a blocker, as a two-way guy, Rod, he's not there yet.
Yeah, I don't know if they have anybody there just yet.
I don't
right?
think they do either.
That can
we'll
be...
see Jatavion.
Yeah, exactly, right? Jatavion's going to add a different athletic dimension to the tight end room. But, you know, right now I think they have enough bodies where that is a position that can be really productive. Jared Wiley, I think, does have a high ceiling. I mean, 6'7", 255. But with Jatavion Sanders now, five-star athleticism added to the room. I like one. Davis, too, just the way he moves. But you got to add some weight to him. And then you got a guy like Cade Brewer, of course, who is a veteran. We didn't even mention Gunnar Helm and Brayden Leibrock thrown in that room, too, as well. So they got all the bodies they need in that room. I like Jared Wiley. Sark says that the tight end position is the most important position in his offense behind the quarterback. I think he means that more from functionality. I think it because it unlocks different dimensions within your offense, makes you more malleable from down to down. I don't think he means necessarily about productivity, because you're going to look at it. His two top tight ends at Bama last year had 41 combined receptions. Mm-hmm. Jared Wiley and Cade Brewer had 24 combined receptions. So my point being, they haven't been that prolific, but maybe a guy like Jatavion Sanders, different ceiling because he's a freak. Maybe he's a guy that can add a different dimension. But I love tight end. I love what Tom Herman said about the tight end. I love what he thought about the tight end position. But it never came to fruition, right? He had this obsession with it, and he stockpiled them, but he never really used them. I don't know how Sark really thinks about the tight end. He says that he thinks it's a really important position. But I would say tight end is like the potato of football positions. I mean, it's so versatile. It can be an H-back for you, a fullback, a tight end, inline tight end, flex tight end.
Palmzana.
Who now?
Palmzana.
I don't even know what kind of potato that is. But,
and I love everything he said. Palmzana is the best potato dish out there. Fight me on it.
I've never had that before. I've had every
the
other
French
type of,
scallop version.
Oh, with, I've had French fries.
I think I've probably made it. You've had it before.
French fries?
You were blown away because why you don't remember it. Not French fries.
Must have been great.
That's Palm's frites.
Next. Oh, see.
Who know?
None of that.
Fritos.
What kind of double
culture baked
potato? People am I working with?
Americans.
I mean, Rod, I've got some hope.
Fries, potato chips.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think Sark is BSing with that comment about tight ends, by the way. I mean, I just haven't seen it from him. Maybe that'll change.
So you're saying he's a liar?
I'm saying he's not a truther.
He's not a truther.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. He also said running back is like the most underutilized position in the passing game. Like, I just feel like he has like something to say about every position on offense to where he makes them more valuable than they actually might be.
Which is kind of
like
he
has something for every position. Which, look, he's a versatile coach, but he's going to put his best 11 on the field, I think. So look at Alabama. I know Texas doesn't have those four receiver sets, but when you have the four receivers like Bama, those four receivers are going to be on the field the vast majority of the time, and you're going to play without a tight end the vast majority of the time. So that's what we had seen a lot from Sark the last couple of years, and then he comes out and says, oh, he thinks the tight end is like the most important position, or second most important position. That just feels weird to me because he wasn't really using them that much.
Yeah,
at
that's
his
fair.
Last stop.
Yeah. He did play 12 personnel, though, a lot in spring.
He did.
And in the spring game, they played more 12 than they probably did anything else.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's because they were short on receivers, or who knows?
I will say this, that I mean, looking at what he did at Alabama, and you're right about those numbers, 41-24, I believe, that it was – you've got to remember he also had four All-American receivers. So,
yeah, first round.
He doesn't have that at UT. So one thing that I do believe in with Sark is he's going to look at his best 11 and his talent and then build a scheme off that.
I think so, too. We'll see what happens. 79 days away from Texas Longhorn football. Of course, we'll have every game for you right here on the Horn. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We are live at Dell Diamond, home of the Round Rock Express. Get out here. You can purchase tickets at roundrockexpress.com. It is a Thirsty Thursday. It's also Pints and Puffs night as well. So bring the doggo out here for a great time. We've got some breaking NBA news when we return. Ooh. Plus, we'll talk some NBA postseason. Another choke by one of the favorites to win it all. We'll give you the details next. I've seen you around for a long, long time. Yeah. I remember you when you drank my wine. Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We are looking live from Dell Diamond on a Thirsty Thursday, actually, here at Dell Diamond. There's going to be a $5.20 per ounce Bud Lights tonight. Also, pups and pints, pints and pups. Also tonight, so all the dogs are going to be in the house. It's going to be real cool. If you are bringing your dog out, man, wait till much later. Wait till it's not too hot. And for all the folks out there who walk their dogs, try to do it early in the morning. Basically, after 10:30, it's too damn hot to walk the dog. Mm. Maybe after 10 o'clock, it's probably too hot to walk the dog.
All right.
Yeah.
Aren't there some breeds that probably like that, though?
Oh, I don't.
Like the polar opposite of a husky, and I'm trying to think of a
It's kind of heat. I don't know if a lot of dogs like. The problem is that the semen gets too hot.
The semen?
On their paws,
the
yeah.
The semen gets too hot on their paws, and dogs don't sweat.
Yep. I remember that.
Yeah, and when they overheat, when you cool a dog off, they got heat exhaustion, they tell you to dip their paws.
Yeah.
Get their paws wet, too, because that's one of the ways they cool off.
Why are you putting that on your dog's paws, dude?
What?
Semen?
Cement.
Cement.
Oh, okay.
Cement gets too hot.
Didn't catch the T. My bad.
Wow. Concrete.
Yeah, concrete. Mm,
concrete.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Concrete next time.
I have to say, I don't know if that's going to help with the heat for the dogs, but, you know, to each his own, I guess.
Maybe drink some water out, too. I don't know.
Take some water out with your dogs if you're going to walk them. Yeah, be kind to the pooches. And if you're going to walk your cats, be kind to them, too. You got a woman in our neighborhood who walks their cats on a leash.
I know. And I like cats.
You
don't. And I don't.
So you're not, hold up. So you're a cat guy, but you don't want to walk the cat?
No, because the reason I like them is I understand the species, and I've got much love and understanding for a lot of different types of species. Those don't want to be walked.
Cats
dogs
don't want to be
do.
Walked.
Dogs do
want to be walked. They love it. Yeah. Cats don't want to be walked.
Saw a good fact today. It was on with Urban Facts, which is always correct. So internet thing.
Oh, yeah.
That cats actually domesticated themselves. I mean, which essentially they did with silos in the 14th century and how they came into our existence.
I don't know if they domesticated themselves so much as they won't let you tell them what to do.
Right. Which is, no. They came to us and then domesticated themselves took over the place.
They'll be like, man, we'll hang out with you sometimes.
Yeah.
You're okay. We'll hang out with you sometimes.
This is fake news and someone
cats.
Who's never owned a cat.
I've never owned a cat, but I do.
I can tell.
My woman has owned plenty of cats, and people in the neighborhood own a lot of cats. Their cats, they just keep food outside sometimes. Because then the cat gets what, like, oh, he'll come eat when he wants to eat, and he'll be all right.
I'll tell you right now.
And then when the cat's been gone for like 2 weeks ago, they'll put up a sign or a picture saying cat's missing.
Can I tell you?
I'm like, what happened to the cat? Like, well, he didn't come back after 2 weeks.
They're bad owners, and that's a feral cat. I'm talking about domesticated cats. They need too much attention.
They're both. Sometimes they do both.
All right.
They're in the house and they go outside.
Sometimes they do.
And that's what I'm saying. People in my neighborhood are weird about their cats.
They are.
Yeah.
You got one walking him and one neglecting.
I got one that was a white cat and she keeps it on a leash and it sits outside while she does the yard.
You feel that breeze?
Summer breeze.
Whew. That was needed.
Yeah, that was needed.
Anyway, don't bring your cats out. Bring your dogs out. Bring some water. And bring some cute dogs.
All right, let's get to this breaking news here, because this is bad breaking news for Dallas Mavs fans. All right, I don't even know if we need to break a new sounder. BK can do it with, like, his mouth.
John, you got that? Breaking news sounder, good one. Look at John.
I thought I was close anyway. All right, well, they said it wouldn't happen. He said it wouldn't happen. Mark Cuban said it wouldn't happen, but it's happening. Rick Carlisle stepping down as Dallas Mavs head coach. Everybody said, oh, no, it's not going to happen. He came out and said, oh, no, I'm
going to
be the Mavs head coach. Not going to happen. Mark Cuban came out and said, oh, no, he's going to be the coach. Not going to happen. Even after all the rumors that said he was either interested in taking other jobs or other jobs were interested in him, other vacancies, I should say, were interested in Rick Carlisle. Finally, now, BK, it is no longer a rumor. It is fact. He is stepping down. And earlier today, we learned that the Mavs' Donnie Nelson was stepping down or at least the Mavs and he were parting ways, and he was the de facto GM of the Mavs. He was their head of basketball operations. So there's a shift. And remember, earlier this week, several reports, including The Athletic, Tim Cato, Sam Amick reported dysfunction in the front office of the Dallas Mavs, rumors that Rick Carlisle wanted out or that other teams wanted him. The Athletic reported that Luka actually wasn't getting along with one of the newest execs in the front office of the Mavs, Mr. Bob Vulgaris. Remember the name. You've been hearing a lot. He is the Jack Easterby for the Dallas Mavs. That's the basis. That's what's going on. The Athletic reported that the most powerful man in the Mavs organization, of course, is Mark Cuban. And they report now the second most powerful man within that organization, BK, Bob Vulgaris. He's been there like 2 or 3 years. Your thoughts?
I'm going to need the rest of the day off, gentlemen.
No, you're fine.
I don't know how to process all of this as a Mavs fan. I mean, 2 weeks ago, the Mavs had a 3-2 lead in their first-round series against the Clippers. They just won Game 5 on the road at Staples Center, and they were one win away from moving on to the second round, and everything seemed great. Now, you get Utah in the second round, that feels like a winnable series, and you don't have to play the Lakers because of their injuries, and Phoenix knocked them out, and all of a sudden – you're thinking, hey, the Mavs have a chance to make a deep playoff run here. And then they obviously lose Game 6 and 7 to the Clippers. And then in the span of 2 weeks, it's all falling apart. Mm. I wasn't super surprised by the Donnie Nelson news. Now, he's been with the Mavs longer than Mark Cuban has been with the Mavs. Yeah, since 1998. And he was instrumental in building the title team and also in trading up to draft Luka a couple of years ago. So not every decision that Donnie Nelson made was a good one, but he made a lot of damn good decisions that has led the Mavericks to be a force to be reckoned with over the last couple of decades. Not as much playoff success as certain teams in the league, but they've been a perennial playoff team, mainly because of Donnie Nelson's ability to build a quality roster. I figured something might happen because it had been 10 years since the Mavs had won a playoff series. Right, they won the title in 2011. Since then, they haven't won a first-round series. And you've had Dirk. I know the end of Dirk, but you've had Dirk and Luka in that time. So, like, at some point, you got to do something. You can't keep trying the same thing over and over again. So I figured there was a chance something in the front office was going to be done. The Rick Carlisle thing comes as a huge surprise. And that's a way bigger bummer to me than the Donnie Nelson news. Because Rick Carlisle's a top-five coach in the NBA. And he's going to land on his feet right away. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston hires Rick Carlisle tomorrow. I mean, there are, what, 6 coaching vacancies? I guess now 7 in the NBA. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Carlisle has a job tomorrow. Yeah. Like, that guy is still one of the best coaches in the league. And, man, it's just that hurts. That one hurts. And I wonder what direction the Mavs are going to go from here. You know, all of these moves are being done, I assume, in an effort to keep Luka happy and make sure Luka signs that Supermax contract to stay in Dallas. And there's been a report that says Luka and Rick maybe weren't getting along as well as the general public would have thought. So maybe this has to do with that a little bit. But, man, KD, it's shocking. Like, the day that the Mavs have had is like a day that a team like Charlotte would have.
Yeah.
Like, just a team that always sucks. They'd have a day like this where they blow everything up and start from scratch. The Mavs felt like they had a really, really bright future, but they're pretty much starting over in terms of the front office.
They are. Here's the good news is that you're not at a spot where you think, wait a minute, why are we restructuring completely right now? I agree with you. Carlisle's more of a shock. I've always been a Carlisle fan going back to Detroit when he took over. And he'd been a long-time assistant. That was a physical, rough team. And I always made the joke on the radio back then because he got fired and couldn't get any jobs. And I thought, this guy must have halitosis. Like, there's got to be something in the interviewing process that is going wrong. Off. And then he goes to Dallas, is there for 13 years, makes the adjustment because the way the Mavs played was not the way the Pistons played. So he adjusted with the NBA and the way that game was playing and opening up and not being as, in a good way, not as rugged and tugged as the late 90s and the early 2000s, which Carlisle was a part of. So, yeah, it's the Carlisle thing is surprising. You know, they haven't signed many free agents to add to what they're doing over the last couple years. And I've got a number. I'll find it here in a second. I think BK was gone. We talked about it. I threw that number out. The two free agents they've signed really haven't done much, and that's been over the last 2 or 3 years. And we've heard rumors, whether they're true or not, the NBA is such a click place, and why I made the point yesterday with Giannis is that you've got to roll with him. You're Milwaukee. Whether he's number one out there, which he isn't, you still got to roll with them. You're lucky he's saying I'm ready to go forward with you.
It's like quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah, you ain't got no choice.
You got no choice. Exactly. That's a good comparison. And if you're in a bad spot, you have to. Now, Dallas should be in a great spot, but we've heard those rumors, and BK, I'm curious to know what you know about this, knowing all the Dallas people, that free agents didn't want to come there. Well, was that Carlisle? Was that Donnie Nelson? What's going on there? Because it's a great city,
and
it does seem like an NBA city where guys would want to go there, and who doesn't want to go play with Luka?
Right. Yeah, you know, I figured that was going to change, and this doesn't mean anything because he ultimately signed the Supermax to stay with Milwaukee, but most NBA people that I've heard from believe that if Giannis left Milwaukee, he was going to go to Dallas and pair up with Luka.
Oh, wow.
Which would have been nuts, obviously. Didn't happen. With Dirk, I understood it because Dirk is, you know, he's not a facilitator. You throw Dirk the ball and let him go to work. But Luka's a facilitator. So I thought at some point the free agency failures that the Mavs have had over the last decade plus would turn into success. But I don't know. I don't know if it's Carlisle or system. I mean, he's got a very offensive system now. The Mavs have been one of the best offensive teams in the league since Luka got there, and that's what guys want to do, right? They want to play offense.
So. He's adjusted with that.
Yeah, and he has. And, I mean, the Mavs, you know, their biggest move was trading for Kristaps Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr., and that hasn't quite worked out as well as the Mavs would have wanted. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I think at some point that's going to change. With Luka there, I think the Mavs will be able to land bigger fish free agents. But, yeah, now I'm curious what direction the team goes from here. Who's going to be the GM and who's going to be the head coach?
It'll be back to something you brought up, though, BK, that this could be because maybe Rick Carlisle and Luka weren't getting along. Maybe the rift in the front office, Donnie Nelson had to go, and they're just trying to resolve things. The Athletic is reporting that the rift is between Luka Doncic and Bob Vulgaris, who is the new director of quantitative research and development for the Mavs. They're claiming now the second most powerful person within the Mavs organization, right under Mark Cuban. They're basically saying he's the Mavs analytical version of Jack Easterby. In the report, they said the rift began sometime in February when Doncic clapped back at Vulgaris for a courtside reaction after a turnover. It said that Doncic said, "Don't effing tell me to calm down," according to a source's recollection of the heated moment between the two. Vulgaris later said his reaction wasn't meant to single out Doncic. However, the event only worsened an already inflamed relationship between the two. It went on to say Mark Cuban is the most powerful person in the organization, and Vulgaris is the second most powerful. Cuban called the report BS. Mm-hmm. He also commented on Vulgaris in the story and said, quote, "I really like what Bob brings to the table. He does a great job of supporting Coach Carlisle and the front office with unique data insights." That's what he said about Bob Vulgaris. So it's weird. I mean, Doncic reportedly told teammates in April that Vulgaris was quitting on them after he like left the game early when they played against the Knicks. So they're reporting that Bob Vulgaris may be the reason for this rift in the front office. And much like Jack Easterby has the owner on his side and the GM on his side, that Mark Cuban is on Bob Vulgaris' side.
Wow.
Yes, of course, he wants Luka, but everybody else may be going because of the rift with that guy.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe at this point, right? We've got differing reports and tensions mounting, and we've seen the word simmering used a lot over the last couple of days. I feel like I've seen simmering used more in the last 3 days than I have in the last 3 years. I don't know what's going on with the organization right now, but it's a shocking day. Once again, it's a day that generally is reserved for bad teams, where you just blow the whole thing up. Hey, we're getting rid of the GM, and the coach is leaving, and that's how it goes. We're starting from scratch. This is a team that was one win away from being in the second round of the playoffs, and they've got a first-team All-NBA player and an incredibly bright future, and it's blowing up. So we'll see what happens, man. Wild, wild story out of the NBA. If you're just joining us, Rick Carlisle has informed Mark Cuban that he is stepping away. He will no longer be the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Earlier today, the Mavericks announced that they were parting ways with their GM and president of basketball operations, Donnie Nelson, who had been with the team since the 90s. Crazy stuff. We'll take your thoughts. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. It's the triple option with RBKD. We are live at Dell Diamond, home of the Round Rock Express, the first place Round Rock Express, mind you.
Nice.
They've got a game against Oklahoma City tonight at 7:05. It's a thirsty Thursday, so get out here. By the way, we've got Rangers tickets to give away, so come see us as well. When we come back, our countdown to Texas football continues. We're 79 days away till the Longhorns rage with the raging Cajuns. We'll talk about the best Longhorns to ever wear the number 79 up next.
The Longhorns are heading back to Omaha.
For the 37th time in its history, more than any other school in the nation, the Texas Longhorns are going to the College World Series. The Longhorns defeat South Florida, and they are Omaha bound in 2021.
Hear Texas and Mississippi State on Sunday night. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6. On your radio home for UT Sports, The Horn.
Hi, I'm Jenny Covert from Covert and Bastrop. When you put your money on the table at Covert, you're not just buying the car truck. You're buying the Covert difference. The Coverts offer you something no other dealer does, and that's four GM service locations for you to choose from. Whether it's routine maintenance or repairs, our certified service technicians get it right the first time, every time. For five generations, we worked hard every day to give you the famous low Covert price and the best service after the sale. Covert Chevrolet Buick and GMC, 702 Highway 71 in Bastrop. Find new roads.
Are you tired of being sidelined by nagging pain? Hi, I'm Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer and Dance with the Stars champion. Happy to tell you about QC Kinetics and their biologic therapies for treating pain without drugs or surgery.
Are you suffering from chronic pain in your hips, knees, shoulder, or lower back? Are you tired of living with arthritis pain? QC Kinetics offers natural pain treatment that can repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints.
Listen, I know pain, and I've seen firsthand how powerful biologic therapies can be. Patients at QC Kinetics rave about their result because they're getting their lives back. They're getting moving again.
These exciting regenerative treatments used to be available only to pro athletes like Emmett. Now they're available to anyone thanks to QC Kinetics. Call today for your free consultation.
Get long-lasting results from my friends at QC Kinetics.
Call QC Kinetics, 512-593-4303. Two area locations, QC Kinetics, 512-593-4303. That's 512-593-4303.
Diamonds Direct celebrates the summer of 2021 with a spectacular offer that everyone's loving right now. 5 years, zero interest financing on anything and everything. Upgrade her diamond now and spread your payments over 5 years with zero interest. Go ahead, splurge on that designer necklace or those diamond earrings. It's easy with this amazing offer. Pick any item, divide the price by 60, and that's your monthly payment. And no down payment is required. You can even finance the sales tax. People are driving for hours to take advantage of this. You get the unbeatable price Diamonds Direct is famous for, and you spread your payments over 5 whole years. Imagine a $12,000 designer engagement ring or diamond tennis bracelet, just $200 a month. It's the smartest and easiest way to buy. And doesn't she deserve it? After all that's happened in the last year, don't miss this incredible opportunity. 5 years, zero interest financing now for a limited time. Only at Diamonds Direct. Unapproved credit. Official jeweler of the Dallas Cowboys at the Domain.
Bucky here for Lewis Family Medicine and Urgent Care, the doctors and staff who take your care personally. Kevin Lewis has been my primary doctor for almost 15 years. And folks, each and every day of every month is important at Lewis Family Medicine and Urgent Care. They are truly owned and operated with two locations, Manor and Dripping Springs, and there's a third facility coming very soon. Come join the family of doctors who have your total medical care as their top priority. Lewis Family Medicine and Urgent Care.
In sports, if you think joy only happens after you win, think again. Look at the world's most successful athletes like Serena Williams, Brooks Koepka, and Alex Morgan. They don't spend all their days grinding away. They take time to enjoy themselves, like getting together with friends over a Michelob Ultra, because they know that happiness is the key to winning and that joy is the whole game, not just the end game. Michelob Ultra. 95 calories, 2.6 grams of carbs. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
The place to get out of the summer heat and have an amazing experience with your friends and family? Underground, inside Interspace Cavern. Defeat the heat and feel utterly amazed as 10,000 years of preserved history surrounds you. Below ground, out of the heat. This is Interspace Cavern, one of the best preserved caves in Texas. Take the guided adventure tour, the wild cave tour. No reservations required. Hit InterspaceCavern.com for tours, info, times, and even a coupon. Your cool summer adventure awaits. Get out of that heat and explore Interspace Cavern.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs. Specs wine, spirits, and finer foods. You're on the way. Less to pay. Everyday store. Cheers to savings.
I'm a boogeyman. I'm a boogeyman. Turn me on. We're at the Dell Diamond. Get on out here. We got pints and puffs. It's going to be a good time. Dogs, cheap beers. And it's hot out here, but man, just watching the Express throw around right now, it reminds you how much you love getting out to the ballpark. So if you've not been, or maybe you have been, come on out and say hi to us, as we're going to be out here all the way up until 7 o'clock. Kevin Dunn, Rod Babers, Brad Kellner. We are 79 days away from the Texas opener. You're going to hear that right here on the horn as Louisiana comes in. One of the best Louisiana teams of all time.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be a challenge for Texas, and it could be this hot, guys, or close to it.
And you know what? Usually that's an advantage for Texas because they practice in the heat.
Right.
Those guys grew up in Texas. They're accustomed to it. I got to tell you, I'm swamp people, so it's just as hot in Louisiana as it is in Texas.
Yeah. No, this is a really...
So it won't be that big of an advantage, them coming in here working with the heat.
It's a good point. Comparative example, if this was Northern Illinois or Central Michigan coming down,
oh man,
then you'd be like, man, this may be their best team ever and a top 25 team, but there's going to be a serious advantage. Texas will have one with the crowd.
Now, if you ask LSU, they'll tell you that, yep, hey, maybe they were cramping up a little bit, and hey, it is a little different heat here in Texas.
I was going to say.
But that's the AC in the locker room, right?
But there is a theory that maybe that wasn't about hydration or heat exhaustion, that maybe they were just trying to a little gamesmanship, get themselves an advantage.
We've got two advantages. We've got a home field, and we also have home locker room advantage.
Yeah.
We'll just go ahead and turn off the AC in the Louisiana locker room.
Oh, that's right.
It'll be all good, baby.
They have made a lot of construction going on. Mm-hmm. Hey, something might have been mishandled. We don't know. It wasn't our fault.
Well, LSU's had some gamesmanship with us in different sports in the past.
Yeah, really? Nice.
Yeah, baseball especially.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, BK, 79 days away. Best 79, what do you got?
We've got a few All-Americans to choose from, gentlemen. 79, not the sexiest number in the world.
Come on, man.
Okay, is it the sexiest number in the world, Rod?
If you're 79, it is.
Did you pick 79?
No, saying if you're 79, you probably really like the number.
I don't even think the people who pick 79 think it's the sexiest number in the world. But you've got
it's usually
an
offensive tackle.
Yeah, you've got a couple of offensive tackles. Terry Tausch was an All-American in 81, and then Ben Adams in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Blocking for Ricky. 98, he was an All-American. So those are your two. And then an All-American end from the 40s. Once again,
of course,
you're only three positions. If you played in the 40s, you're an end, a guard, or a back.
That's it.
Dick Harris, an All-American end back in 1947.
What about Chuck Cephas in 1990?
I got nothing.
You guys know him as Charles, probably.
Yeah.
No, Chuck Cephas was a good tackle for Texas. Ben Adams is a good call. Ben Adams is a California guy and came here and was a big-ass guard. It was the first time that I remember looking at a guard at Texas and thinking, whoa, you would have been easily our biggest tackle back in the day when I was growing up even, so even 10 years before then.
Yeah, Alfio Rando, Big Cat, was 79 when I was on the 48.
Never lived up to it here. Didn't he go on and do some things?
No, not really.
I thought he played
I'm sure he went on to do some things.
Yeah, but
I don't think he went
who's
on.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of that was kind of the same situation that went on to play in the league for a little bit?
Oh, there are a couple of linemen like that for Texas. But Big Cat was 79.
Okay, I gotcha.
He was a JUCO. One of Mac's first JUCOs, actually.
Yeah, I was excited about him.
Before Mac actually got into JUCOs.
I'm reposing the question, gentlemen.
Repose.
Is 79 the lamest number?
No.
For a football player?
No, it's not the lamest.
It's probably like 77.
71 maybe. Is lame as 71 hell.
71's lamer than 79?
71's lame. 71. I think 73's lame, although Rodgers made it look pretty sexy.
Oh, you're right, Big Sean.
Yeah.
You're right, though. 71 is pretty lame. Who the hell's been 71?
51's lame to me.
Whoa! Didn't
there are some good ones. I'm just talking about looking at. I'm not saying guys that have done that.
Wasn't Dick Butkus?
Butkus
51?
Was 51. I knew you were going there.
It's a great name. An all-time great name.
And there have been some good 73s, but
I think anything like 70s is just.
You just think 70s is.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually.
What about 75?
Yeah, 75. 75 is better than 79.
75 is better, yeah.
77 is better than 79 to me.
75 is cool.
79 doesn't do anything for me.
Nah, well, it's better than 71.
I disagree.
Now, he's 10 away.
That'd be last choice for me if I'm an offensive lineman.
He went 69.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm looking for. And 71's closer to 69 than 79 is, so. That's the tiebreaker.
There right we here. Are.
That's
nice.
Any single here. Folks?
Nice.
I don't know what that has to do with anything. Charles Johnson, also a 79 for Texas.
Okay.
according to Chris Bennett's tweet. I'm not going to act like
shout out CD
to the research there or even know who that is.
Yeah,
that's just generic football guy Charles Johnson.
Which there have been
a lot of those.
There's a Charles Johnson for every single number.
It really is.
It's funny when you said that. The best Charles Johnson for me was a Colorado wide receiver back in the day.
He didn't wear 79.
No, he did not.
Because it's lame.
He did not wear 79.
It's a horrible number.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot of Charles Johnsons out there.
Yeah, that is a very common name. Mike Williams.
Like Mike Williams,
I feel like, is the number one athlete name.
Everybody played with a Mike Williams.
If you're a Mike Williams and you're not an athlete, what are you doing? Like, do you just have to change your name at that point? Like, it's so embarrassing. Because every Mike Williams, I feel like, is a professional athlete, or at least a college athlete. Like, if you didn't make it that far, you got to go to Michael. You can't be a Mike.
You can't go,
it's as simple as that. Or just go by your middle name or something else.
Like, I'd go by Mikey.
You don't deserve the name Mike Williams unless you're playing college ball.
Michelangelo.
If any of those guys have been Mikey
good
Williams,
player back in
we'd
the
actually know who we're talking about, right?
Mikey Williams?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody goes by Mikey.
Is there a Mikey Williams?
No, that's what I'm saying. If any of those guys would have gone by it, we'd actually know, is that the Clemson one? Is that the USC one?
That's
is that the
true.
Texas one? Is that the –
differentiate your Mike.
No, you know, that was the Wake Forest one.
I do know a couple of Mikeys, and neither of them were college athletes.
That's why it should be Michelangelo.
So there you go.
Then it'd be easier.
Make
everybody
the change.
Michelangelo.
How many Michaels are short for Michelangelo out there? Anybody?
I'm just saying.
Do you guys know any Michelangelos?
It would set you apart.
Is Michelangelo, like, is he one of those soccer guys where he just had one name? Or was that like
if you're Michelangelo in America,
he's a
you
turtle
can do
that loves pizza.
Oh, is that who you're talking about here?
Yeah.
But what was his last name?
Mike. Oh.
No, they're like the Italian guy, the art guy.
Oh, that is
did
a
he have
great
a last
question.
Name? Like, was Michelangelo his first name?
That's
or was
a great
it like,
no, Michael? I'm sure he had a last name.
Michael Space Angelo.
He's like Kobe and Shaq.
He's just that good.
He's like, yeah, he was so
good. Kobe and Shaq, those are much easier to say than Michelangelo.
Michelangelo David.
He's known as just Michelangelo, though. Like, nobody says Michelangelo.
Michelangelo David?
Yeah.
That's his?
Yeah.
Michelangelo Williams?
No, that's actually
that guy played football for the Panthers.
That's a pain.
That's Michelangelo's David.
Yeah, there's something here.
The naked dude.
Yeah.
With the small. Yeah, he made him with small jumps.
Yeah, wait,
it was weird.
Oh, here it is.
That's the artwork.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was.
You're going to love this.
He's just Michelangelo.
So he's simply known as Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Michelangelo di Lobodiccio.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yes.
Guaranotito or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, wow. He's got like five different. Yeah,
yeah,
see,
but
yeah.
He's got
that's
five.
That's why he's just Michelangelo.
Go with Michelangelo.
Yeah,
man.
I think you guys nailed it.
He's like LeBron. He's
go
LeBron.
With Michelangelo.
Yeah, well, James is easier than Dotito Totino's Pizza or whatever the hell he just said.
Very, very good.
Unreal.
We learned nothing there. We're supposed to learn a lot.
Oh, man. 79 sucks. That's the point of that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sticking
we got
with
there.
That take. Yeah. But we are 79 days away from Texas football, getting closer and closer to year one of the Steve Sarkisian era. We're looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to our next guest. He is the president of the Round Rock Express. Chris Almendarez will join us in person here at the Dell Diamond up next.